Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Thank you, Lord. We're going to continue in our giving and receiving. So if we're on message 7 and in the series. So if you've haven't been here, they're all online and all available. So sometimes, you know, you can jump in the middle of a series and you kind of feel like, what happened? Well, to give it context, you're going to have to go back and listen to the others because we can't review everything, you know, every service. Although I feel like sometimes I try, which is probably to my detriment. So let's pray this morning and we'll get right after this. Father, we just thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for everything you've already done. Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto your path, unto our path. Lord, you said to us in your word that if we would be doers of the word, we would be blessed. So, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit for utterance. I believe you for boldness, Lord, to speak as I ought to speak, that we may speak the truth in love, that illumination will come to your people, Lord, that they will be fed spiritually, that they will be empowered to do and walk and be light and salt and light in their world, Lord. In every area of their lives, that your truths, your holy written word, this precious truth that you gave to us, the Bible, the word of God, Father, speaks to, let us be lights, let us be salt wherever we go, that we preserve, that we provoke, that we bring illumination for the kingdom of God and the glorification of Jesus Christ as the one true Savior and ruler of all. And we thank you for it. We ask you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody that agreed said, amen. All right, so be it. So let's get after this morning. We're talking about giving and receiving, and that's a scripture, passage of scripture that we actually took out of Philippians. I'm not going to go there this morning just for sake of time. But I want to just read over my introduction here. So, of course, last week we had Father's Day, and Pastor Mike shared on our fathers, or our father, talking about the father's heart, which was really good. How many enjoyed that? That was good, wasn't it? Bless me. It helped me. And so, last week we began to look at qualifications for increase or prosperity in our lives. And this week I want to continue along these lines. You know, it's interesting because finances is one of those things where you talk about it and people get nervous and afraid and they squirm in their seat and stuff like that. But that's not, my intention is not to do that. As a minister, as a pastor, I have an obligation to speak what the scripture speaks on. So I didn't write these verses. So let's do this. I'm going to help you with something. First off, I'm not going to take up another offering, I promise. First. So just go ahead and relax. Say, he's going to squeeze the blood out of a rock. You know what I mean? No. We're not going to do that, okay? Secondly, put your defenses down and allow the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to speak to you, okay? Because whether we realize it or not, there are areas of our lives that the Word of God speaks to that we avoid because it's natural. It's your natural tendency. And if people sit and they think, no, I don't do that, you're wrong. You do. Because your nature, your human nature is more entwined into your mind, your soul, than you think. That's why Jesus, when he would go to teach in different places, would look at people and go, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. What is he saying? He's not just saying, check to see if you have the flappy things. Mine are tiny. Some people have bigger ones. I was never accused of having big ears. And I never will. They'll probably be right-sized about the time I die. Because they say those things never stop growing. So by the time, you're like, that guy finally got normal-sized ears, and here he died. But anyway, that's just to help you relax a little bit. So, but anyway, what was he saying? He's saying, look, even if you hear, it doesn't mean you hear. I've done this with my son. Son, I need you to stop that video game and go and brush your teeth because we're about to leave. I need you to get your clothes on for the day. We're about to leave. I hear a response. Okay, Dad, I go do what I need to do. before it's time to leave. I come back. It's now time to leave. The time frame set aside for preparing and brushing your teeth and all of that is now gone. It is now time to pull out of the driveway. And what is my son still doing? He's playing the video game. What did that mean? He heard me, right? Because he responded. But he didn't hear me. And when it comes to the Word of God, and the Lord's doing this with me right now, the longer I've been saved, the more I realize that I'll read something, I'll go, oh, man, I didn't even realize that was there. And the Lord does it intentionally in some respects. If we're really open, he's not going to show you everything you need to change at once. Come on. You don't do that to your kids. You don't tell them everything they need to know all at once, you know? Now, I know you're only one son, but I'm going to tell you about how to get a job and how to... No, you don't need a job right now, okay? You don't do that. Well, God's the same way. He takes us in stages. And when we grow and develop and hear and do more, now you have to do. There's no development outside of doing. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. God, and people say, well, no, I think God will just let me pass. He didn't let the Israelites when they left Egypt. They just keep going around the mountain. And around the mountain. I think I've seen that tree before. Is there such a tree again? Who's got the map? Who are we following? It's not the issue of the map. They know where they're supposed to go. They're being disobedient. And disobedience will stop your spiritual growth. Did you know that? You know, I know there's a lot of church culture today that says, no, we just don't have to do anything. Jesus just did it all. Well, he did it all for you to be able to walk out. You can't save you, but you still have to obey, okay? People say, well, if we don't, is God going to kill us? He doesn't have to. It's just like breaking the law. It's just like speeding. If you go way above the speed limit and drive recklessly, you'll kill yourself and possibly other people. But God didn't ordain that. You just didn't obey the rules. Whatever a man sows, that's in the New Testament, not even under the law. That's a quote from the grace man. Who? Paul. So it must be true, right? So there's that whole principle there. So when we hear the word, what do we need to do? If it offends you, get yourself in a position to where it doesn't. Now, if it's just me being a jerk and it offends you, well, then you can hash that out and I'll apologize later. Because I didn't know. But I'm to speak the truth in love. But if it's the word that gets to you, and you know it's the word, then what do you need to do? You need to adjust to that word. Does that make sense? And that's how spiritual development for it happens. You know, I believe in declaring the word over ourselves and believing God and speaking the word and believing in his promises. I believe that God's promises are for now and for today, that they're not pushed off into heaven. I believe in all of that. But I think sometimes people are quoting scriptures and not changing in their personal lives, and that's why they don't see the fruition of it. Does that make sense? There's more there than we realize on that side of it. So when we look at these passages of Scripture and we look at these truths, we have an opportunity to look at them and go, is it true or is it not? Okay? Like most Christians, if you walked up to them and you said, do you believe that the Bible is the infallible Word of God? Most of them will go, oh, yeah, definitely. And then you can read them a Scripture that doesn't appeal to their natural, and they'll go, I don't know if I want to do that one. But you have to consider the source of what's being said. So you say, well, what happens if we don't do the word? Then you won't have the blessing in that area. Now, is that just my own thinking? No, it's the Lord's truths. It's his word. If you don't walk in love with people around you, you will reap a harvest of not love. If you walk in love, come on, you'll reap a harvest of love. So the truths are that truth, that principle, whatever man sows, he'll reap, is true all the way across the board. It's in every area of your life, not just money or finances. And God wants us blessed, but he wants it done his way. Amen? All right. So I'm going to continue along these lines. I said this 2 weeks ago by the leading of the Holy Spirit. I was reading these passages of Scripture and thinking about it. And then at the end, when I was teaching on it, this came out of me, and I wanted to repeat it. This thought was, how do we get to that place of blessing? How do I make sure that I am in a position where my character is so established or anchored and rooted by the rivers of living water to the point that nothing else in this natural has control over me? But everything that comes to me by the blessing of God, God knows that he can put his hand on it and he can say, I want that, and I will turn to God and say without hesitation, here you go. This, I believe, is what the Lord is after from us as a church. So we talked about the rich young ruler. Do you remember the rich young ruler? Okay, so let's do this. Let's go there. Go to, Luke chapter 18 is where it is. We're talking about the rich young ruler. Now, I'm going to make statements right now that I want to make a statement here. I want you to hear me while you're turning. If you don't want to give financially, don't. People say that's opposite of what most preachers say. Well, I would just tell you this. If you can't hear from the word and be convinced to do what God wants you to do, I'm not going to try and convince you. Does that make sense? I am not going to try, because here's the thing. God is the one that told us to have this church. Nobody came to me and said, you know, I don't like the church I'm at. You can kind of preach. You want to start something? None of that happened. In fact, I'll be honest with you. I didn't even want to start a church. Now, people hear that and they think naturally. They go, what? Isn't this your call? Isn't this? It is. But if you knew some of the circumstances up until this point, I didn't want to do it. But guess what? It's no longer Sean who liveth, but Christ who liveth in him. So I don't decide for me. Did I save me? Am I my Lord? No, Jesus is my Lord. He decides for me what I do. You say he decides every little thing? No, I eat pizza when I want to eat pizza. I'm saying in a general sense, there's a direction that my life goes, and God decides that direction. And along the way, he says, you want ice cream, boy? Eat ice cream. I said, Rocky Road, Lord. Rocky Road with chocolate on top. Thank you. You said that's chocolate on chocolate. I know, I like chocolate. Double chocolate, Jesus. So my point is that you say, well, you guys take an offering. I have to give you opportunity to give. If you don't want to, or if you're not settled on how or what, don't give. Because I would rather you see from the scriptures what the Bible says about it so that you can adjust your heart to what God says, and then you can do it in faith. And what, and joy, come on. And joy, and joyfully. And what does God love? A cheerful giver. What pleases God? Faith. So what's my goal? My goal is to not make sure that you do everything I want. My goal is that you develop spiritually. And whether you do that or not is up to you, not me. It's not up to me. Now, if I'm not preaching like I should, if I'm not studying and I'm not feeding the sheep like I should, then it's on me and I'll get my butt whooped, trust me. Because I've had the Lord get after me before. You think people have gotten after me. You should be in my prayer closet sometime. The Lord can get after you. And he's a good parent. He will. So that's my motivation in this. So Luke chapter 18, we're talking about the rich young ruler here. Okay. It says this, verse 18, now a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother. And he said, all of these I have kept from my youth. So this is a good dude, right? He's done well. He's been obedient. Verse 22. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Now, what if Jesus said that to you? What do you do when Jesus says that to you? You say, what is it, Lord? Okay? What is it, Lord? Okay, second part of verse, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Wow, that's a strong word, right? But what is the man after? What's he after? He said in verse 18 again, what does he say? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? What's he after? He's after eternal life. What is stuff compared to eternity? All right, let's say this. Let's say God doesn't want you to have anything. Let's say that the idea that poverty is sacred is true. Now, we talked about this. It's not, so you have to go back and listen in the messages to find it, okay? But let's say that's true. Let's say that's what God wanted, and that was his will. What's more important, your stuff or eternity? See, this is the linchpin. This is the connecting point to true prosperity. Which do you love more? Does that make sense? Now, when you talk about things like this, people, the devil will try and run wild through your mind. Don't let him. Well, God doesn't want me to have anything. What am I going to do? First of all, that's worry and fear and panic. And you're not in faith, so you're not going to hear from the Lord anyway. So you need to shut all that off and go, okay, Lord, let... You know, it's almost like in my mind, and I do it this way, and the Lord's led me this way to do it this way, I just kind of sit down and write out what I have and go, what do you want, Lord? Now, you say, are you telling me to do that? No, you can do whatever you want. But for me, there are certain things. I like a good faith challenge. I like the, you know, as much as we didn't want to necessarily just plant and start this church, I like the adventure of it. I like the idea that I'm going to close, that the church and the board and everybody, we're going to close on this building in 2 weeks, and we're still $30,000 short on what we need. I like it. Why? You say, what? Are you crazy? I heard from God. Which means what? I've got faith. Now, if you, not God didn't tell you to plant a church, and you're like, I like that church building. I'm going to try and go get that church building. You don't have a word from God, so it ain't going to work. So what happens within that two-week period? I get a phone call. How much do you need? $30,000. I got the check a week later. Nobody from this congregation did it. Nobody. Now, we did a lot. Praise God. People sowed seed. It was awesome. Okay, but it came in. Even the realtors looked at us and go, I never thought this was going to happen. Well, that's because you're thinking, not faithing, big boy. Some of that, I got to be careful. Instead of winning people, I'm beating them. So you understand what I'm saying, though. There's this process here of where's my heart at? Where is my heart? What do I really want? What am I after? And so the question here is eternal life. So what does Jesus say to him? Look, you lack one thing. This is all you need to do. Just go sell everything you have and you'll have eternal life. Now, I'm not telling you to sell everything you have because there are other passages where people didn't give away, you know, they gave away half of what they had. You say, what's the issue? The issue is the condition of your heart. It's your heart, your individual heart, where you're at. Where are you at? What do you feel like God wants you to do? That's what you need to decide. I can't decide that for you. Verse number 23. Jesus said, sell everything you have. Verse number 23. But when he heard this, he what? Became sorrowful, for he was very... Ooh. He told the rich guy to sell everything. All the people that aren't rich went, whew, I don't got to sell everything. Okay. Well, I'll just say this. Poor people have just as much worship of money as rich people do. They do. It manifests in different ways. Today it manifests like this. You're rich and I'm not. Give me what you have. Why? Why should they? Well, they got it illegally. How do you know they got it illegally? See, years ago, the temperament was, you see that man over there? He's the richest guy in the community. If you work hard, son, you can become like him. If you apply yourself. Today, it's, you see that guy over there? He's the richest man in the community. He stole it. Somehow, we got to figure out how to get it back from him. How do you know? And even if they did, why are you the judge? We got to adjust our hearts in these things. But why does this man go away sorrowful? Because he came excited. What do we see right in the middle here? We see a revelation of the rich young ruler's heart. What is the revelation? He loves his money more than he does his Savior. Do you see that? Now watch this, verse 24. Let's finish up with this right here. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. Notice Jesus did not say, but hey, if you sow, you'll get a massive reward. Is this thing on? What did Jesus not say to him? But there's a 30, 60, 100-fold. Don't go away because, well, 30, 60, 100-fold's in the scripture. Harvest is in the scripture. Totally agree with you, but what is Jesus dealing with? If I preach finance to you, money, and I just preach the harvest to you, and I don't get this issue right first, what are you giving for? Love of God or love of the harvest? You say, do you have to bring that up? I have to bring that up. Now, I've found out in my own life, it's not as easy to get rid of love of the harvest as you think it is. It takes a little bit of effort on my part, because the tendency of my natural mind and my flesh is to focus on what I'm getting rather than who I'm giving to. Does that make sense? If I'm honest with you, and I might as well be, because you're going to know it either way. I could lie to you, but it wouldn't do any good. You'd know because you have the Holy Ghost in you. So this is what the Lord is doing with our church, going, okay, where are you at? And when your heart is right before the Lord, then God can go, windows open, blessing pour out. Why? Because like I said at the beginning, your character is at such a place that he knows he can look at you and go, I want that. And you go, it's all yours. What should have the rich young ruler's response have been? I'm going to go liquidate everything, get on the phone, call everybody, sell all the stocks, sell all the bonds, sell everything. I'm going to follow Jesus. Well, we can't just shut down the business. Jesus said, sell everything, give it to the poor. I'm leaving. Bye. See, so it's easy for me to say that because it was the rich young ruler's money, not mine. Right? That's easy to see. But what is this story in here for? For the sake of the fact that I can see that the rich young ruler didn't do what he was supposed to, and that rich young ruler is, no, it's here for me to learn from. Okay, I have to look at myself and go, okay, why am I doing what I'm doing? Okay, verse 25. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Is that true? Unequivocally, it's in the Bible. It is true. It is easier for what? For a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And those who heard it said, who then can be saved? Does that sound like poor people? Come on, think. Get out of your religious mind. Get it out. Break the cobwebs out. You know, like one lady came to one of Brother Hagin's services years ago, and she said, "Man, everything you preach," she said, "I'm totally confused after you spoke." And he said, "Sister, you didn't get confused by what I spoke. What I spoke, it showed up all the confusion in you." It's like going into the attic and going, turning a flashlight on, you're going, "There are cobwebs everywhere. What's wrong with this flashlight?" Right? Come on. Think about it. Somebody clean this flashlight. Put cobwebs all over the attic. No, the light's just showing you what's there. This word is a... So I have to look at this and go, "For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And those who heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" That doesn't sound like a bunch of broke fellers. Verse number 26 or 27, "But he said, the things which are impossible with men are..." Oh, we love to quote that verse, but not in context. I'm a faith guy. I'm a faith guy. And what's impossible with men is possible with God. But what's he specifically talking about? It's possible for rich men to enter the kingdom of God with God as their help. Do you see that? So in context of what's being said right here, what was Jesus saying to the rich young ruler? "With me, it's going to be possible, rich boy, to get in." Now watch what Jesus says to the disciples. I love this. He says this, "Then Peter said, 'See, we have left all and followed you.' So he said to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left houses or what? Or brothers or children for the sake of the... who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come.'" Did Jesus quote the harvest or declare the harvest to the rich young ruler? No, he's already walked away. Who did he declare it to? Those who had already left everything for the sake of the kingdom of God. Right? So, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The eye of a needle is a Jewish proverb commonly used to express great difficulty or impossibility. In the large gates in the city walls were small narrow ones, each called the needle's eye, through which a camel might enter kneeling down if he were unloaded. Now, why did they have a needle on either side? Do you want to know why? Because at night they would lock the gates. And so instead of just having a wide open gate for an enemy to come in, they would put a tiny little narrow hole. It's kind of like your internet provider. You want more room? You got to pay for a bigger gate. How many have seen that commercial for cell phone or something like that, or internet or some sort of provider, and all these people are running towards a door? They're cartoons. But the door is really small, and they're in a panic, and they're just piling up. They're not going through the door. But then the door starts to expand, and more can go through. Well, the idea here is that you don't want more and more going through. You keep the hole small. So, what is Jesus saying here? In other words, the more money or prosperity, whatever you want to call it, doesn't even have to be money. It could just be stuff. Some people aren't prosperous that much in cash, but then maybe they have a lot of land, or they have whatever the issue is, whatever you have, okay? It doesn't matter. The idea is financial increase. The more we have, the more diligent we must be to allow it to be not to become our God. The more we have. So apparently, money, listen to this, has the potential of narrowing the path of salvation even more than normal. Not my words. Jesus, right? You know, if you're totally broke, you can imagine what it would be like to be rich. But you don't have to contend with the faith fight with all those riches. Does that make sense? Because what does money do? What does money stir up in people? I'm part of an HOA, homeowners association. You want to get the neighbors a rolling and jumping and shouting, not like in a Holy Ghost meeting, but, you know, not in love at all. Just talk about their money that needs to go to the HOA. Woo, you will light people up. You don't even have to have a match. They'll just instantaneously combust. Why do they do that? Why do they do that? Because money stirs up what? It stirs up what? Emotion in people. Why? Because they don't realize how much that money holds them. Does that make sense? What did the rich young ruler realize? What revelation came to him? I love money more than I do God. And I'll just say this, because, you know, I'm preaching this, but I have made this mistake over and over and over and over and over again. But the Lord's dealing with it specifically in me. Why? Why deal with this? You gotta answer this question too. Why deal with this particular issue? Why bother? Ultimately, what do you think Jesus is after? He's after your heart, but what does he want to get to you? The blessing. He wants you to be blessed. Why even put it in the scripture? Why even put anything about finances and anything like that in the scripture? What's the point? Why even talk about, why didn't he just say, don't just keep the money you have. I don't want to multiply anything back to you. Don't give. Don't do, just work hard. Keep your money. Just do with what you have and just be there. Why put in there, if you give, it'll be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over? Why put in there, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap? And if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you'll reap. Why put in the scripture, seed time and harvest will never end? Why put in the scripture, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, but he adds no sorrow to it? Why put that in the scripture? What's the point? Were the Jews, did they have a poverty mentality? No. Who's hated till today because Jews have money? The Jews. So why put all this in here? Why deal with this about our hearts? Why make it such a big deal? Why would the Lord week after week say, hey, look at the rich young ruler. Hey, look at your condition of your heart. Hey, begin to distinguish between what my motivations are and your motivations are. Begin to look at money the way I look at money. Why do that? The answer is good if you think about it. Once the issue of the heart is taken care of, the last part of those verses in Luke are very clear. Jesus said, if you leave any of these things, you will receive back many times. Not only, come on now, thank God he said in this life. In this life, but also in the, wow. There goes the whole idea that Jesus is a socialist and everybody gets the same. You know, Paul made this statement. He said, in eternity, some stars will shine brighter than others. Social promotion. You know, God's, everybody has the same size. Everybody's the same this. No, no, no. You'll be rewarded for works. Now, it won't decide whether you go to heaven or not. That's already settled because that's in Jesus. Amen? That's already done. You don't have to, you receive Jesus, he's in your heart, you're good to go. But beyond that, faith will be rewarded and works of faith will be rewarded. So this being said, what do we need to go away with this morning? Okay, let's go back over this scripture this week and look at it. And in your own prayer time, you sit down and you go, okay, Lord, where am I at on this? What do you want from me? Which part do you want, Lord? What do I have that you would bless you if I gave it to you. And be willing and open in heart to hear whatever he says to you. And then be obedient. Because where's the blessing? It's in obedience. Amen? It's tough, right? It's like, man, you get down into these truths and people go, you're going to shrink the church. I cannot be cursed with what God has blessed. But see, we desire certain things to see God move in a real tangible, awesome way in people's lives, but then we pretend like that'll come without us doing our part. We have to do our part. Amen? Why don't you stand, please? Praise God. You know, I want you to do something for me when you leave, and you're just quietly to the Lord or with your spouse or whatever, when you're praying, check your heart to see if you ate a steak today or not. Don't just walk away from the word that you heard and just dance with it in your mind. I mean, it has to be a part of your mind, obviously, but check your heart. Check your heart. He who has ears to hear, he who has eyes to see. Right? How many would agree if I'm going to pray a prayer of consecration. You want to join in with this particular verse right here. Lord, show me. Okay, let's do it right now. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, you see the hearts of every person here. Lord, you're merciful, loving, and compassionate. And we're thankful for that. Lord, you thank you so much for being so long-suffering. You are so good to us, and I know that you're not mad at any person in here. But Lord, what we do desire is to hear from you for our lives. In fact, I know this by the Spirit of God. There are some of you who are here that have struggled greatly in these areas of finances and even in other areas of your life. And the issue is not necessarily going over the promises. The issue is actually for those particular issues that you're struggling with. The issue is actually dealing with the condition of heart motivation. And if you'll allow the Lord to deal with you in certain areas of your life and touch certain areas of your life that you did not want him to go to, it was either painful or for whatever reason, fear, if you'll allow him to, he'll begin to show you how to walk out of that bondage, and it will break the chains off of your life that have held you for years. So Father, we do. We consecrate in our hearts, and you can do it quietly, just right there. Just agree in your heart. Lord, show me what I need to do. Lord, you revealed to the rich young ruler the one thing. Lord, show us what we're supposed to do. And Father, as we do, oh, glory to God, we'll give up all for your kingdom first, knowing that you don't lead us into destruction. You lead us into everlasting life. And though it may look like death in a sense to an area or to an issue in our life or to some sort of financial thing, Lord, we'll hand it over to you. We know that according to your promises, when we from the heart obey your word, that we will be blessed, that in this life we will receive many times over what we give to you, and in the life to come, we will receive blessing. So, Father, out of just obedient, simple faith, we will do what you say, what you ask us to do. And if you agree, say amen. Amen. In Jesus' name. Well, God bless you guys. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday. Don't forget the picnic is next week. Yeah, and if you still want to get on the marriage thing, go ahead and sign up at the back table. If you're a visitor, please get a t-shirt.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.